Welcome back to our morning show get-together on WRCO Radio. We have in studio with us today live Molly Kasten, District Administrator with the Weston School District. Has it been a good first few days of school, Molly?
Yes, it has. It's been really great. We've had a few adjustments in some of our procedures that we have at the beginning of the day, and everybody responded really well so far, and we are off to a really smooth start to the school year.
That's awesome. And normally it's like 95 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's been a little better that way, hasn't it?
Yes, it is. This temperature has been great, and it looks like next week will be similar as well.
You bet. What about new staff? Do you have a lot of new staff members?
Well, we have a couple of new staff, and we have a few staffing adjustments. So at the end of our school year, our high school English teacher retired, and our junior high English language arts teacher, Trent Jennings, he moved up to our high school position. So we're really glad to have him there. He works really well with a lot of our youth, and he's also been an assistant coach in different areas, and he also does a lot of work with strength and conditioning. And he works really, has a lot of relationships with kids, which is fantastic. And to me, that is one of the most important characteristics of any of our teachers, that those relationships. We can teach people how to teach. You can't teach people how to care about kids. That's something they have to have, and he definitely has that. So we're really excited to have him in the high school. And then once his position was open, vacant, our sixth grade teacher applied for and moved into that. So we have Stephanie Vick in our seventh and eighth grade ELA teacher. And she's actually taught in our district for several years, and she's been in the, she's taught 4K, kindergarten, she's taught second grade, third grade, sixth grade, and now she's up to the junior high. And another fantastic move for our district to really solidify. We have an excellent junior high team, which is something we've been this past year focusing on, really developing that junior high experience for our junior high kids. And she's a great fit for that team. So those are the two big teaching adjustments. And then that meant that our sixth grade position was open. And so we have a new hire there, and we've hired Stetson Clary as our sixth grade teacher. And he was a substitute in our district last year. And of course, he's known in the area. He's worked in with wrestling with a lot of our students in the past. So we're really excited to have him there as well. And again, all of these teachers, you know, those relationship pieces are important to them as well. And the last new position we had is we have a brand new kindergarten teacher, and that's Liz Povelmacher. And she joined our staff last week, and we're really excited to have her too. Again, very strong in relationships and knowledge in the young learners. So we're really excited to have her aboard as well.
Indeed. Sounds like some good new hires. And, you know, I think you mentioned that earlier when kids have that connection with a teacher, lots of times the students can tell who's legit and who cares about them.
Yes, they can. They feel it. You know, you can, you know, remember yourself, you know, back in school. I remember it. You remember those teachers that connected with you, and you may not remember the things you learned in that class, but you remember that connection that you have. I know for myself in high school, I'm still connected to the one, you know, I had my one teacher. My teacher was Shekel, Therese Shekel from Richland Center, and I still connect with her. We still try to have lunch a couple of times a year, and it's great to now connect with her on that different level. We talk education a little bit too, but she was my person at school, and it's important for every kid to have that person.
Yeah, I know a few times I would go out for lunch with a former teacher, and, you know, you put yourself 10 years or 15 or 20 years out of school, and you're thinking, back in school, I'm sure that teacher never thought that would ever happen, you know? But
yep. You don't know.
Lifelong friends,
yep.
Absolutely. What's new in terms of your bus service at Weston, Molly?
So we started a new contract with Southwest Bus Service, which is out of Prairie du Chien. We started that this year when our contract with our previous provider ended. And so we started that, and we have the same drivers as we've had for the past several years. It's just a new service, and we have, it's pretty nice. There's some nice new buses that we received with that, and I know some of the drivers were pretty happy with, I think, some of the bells and whistles that the new buses may have that some of the older ones didn't. So it's great to have that new partnership with them. They are a company, it's a local company, and they have worked in, provided services to many other smaller rural districts. And so, you know, providing bus service to small rural districts in areas where sometimes there's no cell phone service or there's no radio service is different than providing in some bigger locations like some of the other services are used to working with. So we've been able to partner with them, and we're off to, I feel, a really good start with them. And it's something that it's a great addition to our school district.
So the new buses are housed at the Weston facility then?
Yep. They stay at the Weston School District.
And your drivers get a chance to cruise through the district. Are there some areas where cell reception is pretty poor in your district? I guess there is.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and not every cell service provider has service in all areas in the district. We found some work a little bit better. So when you think of that, and also the radios that they have on the buses, you know, sometimes if you don't have a certain radio, you can't reach the drivers depending on where they're at if there's something that comes up. And so right now, the new radios, I believe, are working wherever they have been. They've tried them throughout the district, so they're an upgraded radio, which is helpful. And then if they can reach someone with the radio, they're always able to reach someone. And so that was important to us, that our drivers always have someone in dispatch that is available if they need that person in dispatch to be able to reach a parent or the school that they can't find someone.
Back in the day, it was, you'd call somebody and say, tell the driver that you don't have to stop for so-and-so, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how you communicated back in the day, I think.
Yeah, it was. And I also, as we've been working on, you work on the bus routes every year, how you do that is it goes into a program that determines what the best route is. But then you always have the conversation with the drivers of what makes most sense, really, when you're on the ground. And every year, it reminds me when I was a kid in school, I remember that we were on a route that went a certain way. And I think my brothers told the driver, like, hey, there's actually a different route that would, so that we could get dropped off first instead of last. And they did that. And I think now I'm like, why would a driver listen to children about the bus route? But yes, so they changed the bus route. So, and there are those times where you do have to make those changes. But that's why we've had some really good conversation with the bus company, making sure to communicate with our drivers, because the drivers are not Weston School District employees. They're employees of Southwest Bus Service. And so, you know, making sure our chains, you know, where we're communicating and who has been a really, you know, a lot of work that we're doing to make sure everybody knows where to go and who to communicate with.
The drop-off and pickup procedures, have they changed any?
Yes, they did. This is something that I've wanted to adjust for years, and we've worked on continually trying to adjust it. But this year, we decided to completely change it. And in the past, people would just drive up in front of the school, the students would get out, and the buses would drive up there as well. And we did something really different this year, where we've changed our entrance and exit, that there's only one entrance and one exit. And on the entrance, there's actually an entrance for the buses. The buses will come and go out of one area, and that's labeled. It's on the ground, and there's some signage. And the buses will come in and go drive straight back. And we have an entrance by our cafeteria. And so when our students get off the bus in the morning, they always go to the cafeteria for lunch. And so they drop the students at the cafeteria entrance there, which is right next to where the bus garage is. So they drop the students there that are getting off the buses, and then the buses go into the back by the bus garage. And then our entrance on the front we have a drop off, but it's going kind of the opposite direction than we have in the past. And so we're keeping the foot traffic because kids park and walk in, and the parent drop-offs and pickups separate from the bus traffic. So it was always very unnerving at the beginning and the end of the day with all the different cross traffic. And so that has been very smooth this year. And at the end of the day, the buses line up outside of the cafeteria, and it's marked. We've painted the concrete so everyone can see where it is, and the students that go on the bus go out there, and we have a parent pickup line where the parents just go in line, and they don't even have to get out of the car, and the kids will just get placed in their car. So it's been smooth so far.
It's all about safety, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, making sure that, when we have... Previously, we'd have buses line up in front of the school, and then kids are leaving the same entrance. We were having kids walk between buses, which is not safe, and it's a bad habit to teach them. So we completely switched it up, and it's going very smooth. We have people out front. Our nurse and I are out front at the drop-off in the morning, and different people out at the end of the day. And then we have different staff assigned each place so that we're assuring that students are getting where they need to be.
When does Weston start school and end school during the day?
So that was the change in our school calendar this year. Previously, we ended at 3:20. We start the day at 7:50, and previously we would end at 3:20. This past year, when I worked on the calendar, I shortened the day to end at 3:05. And that was for many reasons. One is when we're looking at a lot of sports co-ops, and we already have a lot of co-ops, that means travel time. And if kids aren't getting out of school until 3:20, 3:30, by the time they travel somewhere for a practice, that takes up a lot of your evening. And so we wanted to make sure that there was the time. I also wanted to make sure there was breathing room for staff at the end of the day. Our paraprofessionals, they work 7:30 to 3:30 is what their hours are usually. And when the kids are arriving at 7:30 and then they're leaving at 3:20, and by the time the buses leave, it's 3:25, there is no time to communicate. There's no time to have a brief meeting, a 15-minute standing meeting to say this happened or whatever. There's no breathing time for any of the staff, to come down off from the day or get a few things done. And so having that extra time relieves some of that stress for people, because even, our teachers, their hours are 7:30 to 3:30. And it's really hard when you're cramped up that close. So then if we have to have any meetings, we can start a meeting at 3:10. And most of the time it can be done by 3:30 or 3:45 without it taking a big chunk of someone's day.
So you have a little less time in the afternoon. Do you have to eventually make up a day somewhere along the line?
No, you count in the minutes. I also took a minute of passing time out of the schedule. And so I changed the junior high school bell schedule. And I was able to only reduce the number of minutes in a class. I don't know if it was even a minute that was reduced in each class. I don't know, but I reduced the passing time. So our students had 4 minutes passing, and I reduced it to 3. Because honestly, if we could do it, I'm pretty sure we did it in 3 at the old Richland Center High School. That was a complete maze. The kids can move from one section of the building to the other. It's been good. Kids are hustling along and getting where they need to be. But if there's a problem with it, I can look at that for another year. But 4 minutes was a little bit too long. And so that's where we reduced that. And I also reduced a couple of minutes in our SOAR time, which SOAR time is Student Organization Accountability Responsibility. It's an advisory period where kids are working on some of their academic and career planning. There's student support that happens during that time, and it was previously a 20-minute time, and it's now about 15 minutes. And so we broke that down a little bit, have a little bit less time there, but not much taken out of classes.
What about for staff? Do you have some days planned, some work days and in services?
Yeah, one of the things I did with the calendar this year, when I was looking at, when I am planning things, I look at a lot of different things. I do, one of the resources that I use is social media. And I like to listen to and read a lot of videos and different things from teachers' perspective and also administration, you know, and trying to find that good balance, you know, like what are the things that teachers really need, and making sure and communicating with our staff as well, you know, that one of the things that staff need the most of is time, that they don't have enough time to do the things that are expected of them. And so with our calendar this year, our staff days are just simply in the calendar as staff work days. And there may be some in-services that or meetings that need to happen or some things that we have to do, but it's intended for them to have time to work because we cannot expect them to do the things that are expected of them without the time that is needed to do a good job. We also have a couple of days, I know at the over winter break, we have a day where staff come back as a work day before the students return so that they have a chance to catch their breath, prepare, you know, because that, if you've been in a school on the last day before any break, it's controlled chaos. You know, kids are excited, everybody's excited, and it's hard to get things done. And, you know, if you have the last day before break, and then you're coming back and students are there, that what often means is, especially those, a lot of teachers that do put some holiday decor and some different things that have different themes based on that, they have to come over break and take down all their stuff and, you know, to get prepared for that first day. And because let me tell you, that last day of break, before break, nobody can prepare anything. It's hard. And so I wanted them to have time. And so they have time then. And then I also believe in the calendar, there is time. The same thing with spring break. The first day back is adults only. And then we have the kids come in. So they have time to prepare and adequately be prepared for kids to return.
I know I've talked to some other administrators, and they've had a real push toward truancy and some plans on that and trying to make sure that kids are in school. What's Weston's plan on that?
So this year, this is a focus for us to address this. In the past, we've had our school district struggles with student absences. And we've had, I know in the 2021-22 school year, we had a large portion of our students that were chronically absent. Chronic absenteeism is if a student misses 10% or more of the number of school days. So in a 175-day school year, that's missing 17.5 days. And so we need to really focus on that because, again, you can't, you aren't going to learn if you're not present. And the things we do at school matters. So the 22-23 school year, we were down to 15% of our students that were chronically absent. And there's some of our, we've looked at the data too. It's different between, you know, sometimes our junior high school and elementary, some of those, you know, it's did more, it's not as, there's more absenteeism in certain portions of the building. And so we're really working on that. And one of the things that we're doing is ensuring that our data is correct going in, that if a student, as we're putting it into Skyward, because Skyward is our student information system, that information gets recorded and making sure we're putting the right data in. So like if it's, for example, if, you know, when we say that we had that it was 41% of our students were chronically absent, was that correct? You know, was it something that was incorrectly coded? And so we've been working really closely on making sure that we are using the same codes. We did this last year in our elementary, junior high, and high school. And then this year we'll continue following up with that to make sure. And then also with that, making sure that there's checkpoints along the way that we're communicating with families. You know, it's not that we want to come down on any family. It's just we want to support them. You know, is there something you need? What is the barrier to your child coming to school? Sometimes it's just bad luck. You know, I remember myself as a parent. I had a child who had asthma and allergies, and every year he would get pneumonia. That meant he missed a week of school. He also missed days in between because of his illnesses. And so he always had a high number. You know, some of those things you can't help. But it's just a communication between the school and us and making sure that those are just the outside of the norm, that it's not just the norm that we miss school.
It's important to keep the district posted on situations like that, though, too, to know that, you know, it's legit, too. Right?
That is correct.
Yeah, back in the day, it was a lot of times it was farm kids working, you know, they were missing school. I don't know if that's as big a thing as it used to be or not.
There are kids that sometimes, one of the things that we do have is we have a lot of students, older students that have some responsibilities. You know, they may need to help with different things at home. It could be the farm, it could be a business or siblings. There are different things like that that do. And I think that's something that, again, we just need to communicate with parents, you know, and have that conversation with them. And it's not that we're coming down on you heavily. It's we need to know, you know, and is there something? One of the things we haven't done is we haven't done a scheduled weekly or monthly early release, because I know in the past that's difficult for families to adjust their schedule. And so just making sure that whatever we have for a schedule, it works with families, that we're able to, you know, that the students are able to come to school and we can support both families and students.
Molly Kasten, our guest, district administrator at Weston. In fact, they have a homecoming coming up real soon. We'll talk about that when the morning show continues. We're talking about all the great things going on in the Weston School District on the morning show with District Administrator Molly Kasten. Well, you start school, and then the second week of school, you have homecoming. That's got to be a little bit stressful, isn't it?
Well, it's working out okay. So we had previously had our plan for homecoming as, I think it was October 17th. And this summer, the WIAA changed the 8-man football schedule. And October 17th was no longer a game. And so we had to adjust with, you know, when you co-op, there's not a whole lot. You have to share the home games. And so there was a limited number. And so the only date we had available was September 12th, which is next week. So we are our second week of school, we have homecoming. So it's been working out, knock on wood. Everything is working out so far, you know, because in a way, it's okay because you're just starting to get into the school year, and then we'll have homecoming, and then we can really hit the road a little bit harder after homecoming. So it's working out okay.
Give us the schedule of events for next Friday then.
So next Friday, we will have our parade in Cazenovia again this year at 2:30. I want to double check. I double checked that. 2:30. Yep. 2:30 homecoming parade. And then the game that night is at 5:30. That was the schedule again, and we're working with it, what we have. Our pork feed for the FFA is before that from 4 to 5:30 in the cafeteria. And at 4:30 is our distinguished alumni induction, and that's at the school. And the Silver Eagle Foundation is hosting an alumni social at Hillpoint Hideaway at 8 o'clock, which is hopefully after the game. And then the next day on Saturday at 8 o'clock is our homecoming dance. So, and then we have activities all week long. The students have different dress-up days, which are always fun. My personal unfavorite on Monday is their pajamas or loungewear day, which everyone knows at school I can't imagine wearing pajamas outside of the house, but everyone loves pajama day. So that's on Monday. And we have some sporting events throughout the week, volleyball games. We have two home volleyball games we have one on Tuesday and Thursday night, and our junior high is playing as well. So we have a lot of different activities going on next week.
Have they announced the distinguished alumni winners yet, or is that a surprise?
I don't think those have been announced yet.
Okay. Let us know when that happens.
Yes.
So that's great. A lot of people are asking about, the co-op with Ithaca. When is that going to start? What's the latest on that, Molly?
All right, so this school year for the 2025-26 school year, we are in our last year of a co-op with Waniwok for football, and we're playing eight-man football. And then in the winter, we will have, for the first year, our girls' basketball team will be co-oping with Ithaca. We also will have our girls and boys wrestling co-oping with Ithaca, as they have in the past. Mm-hmm. In the spring, it'll be the first year of the softball co-op with Ithaca. And we will be continuing, as we have in the past, with girls and boys track with Ithaca. So those are the co-ops for this year. The following year, in the 2026-27 school year, we will then co-op with Ithaca for football. So that is already established.
And it'll be 11 player then.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And the Scenic Bluffs Conference.
Yes.
So I think there's excitement about that. As we talked before we went on the air, but the wrestling teams, they've been kind of the pioneers there, and they've proven that it can work, mm-hmm. and it is successful, right?
Yeah, and when you think about wrestling and how wrestling works, it was the perfect sport to start doing, you know, using co-ops, because it's not just in our district, it's everywhere. They were the first ones, really, when you think about it, because of bringing different kids in to participate in the sport. So for us, we're looking at, as we've been developing the co-ops, what's worked well with that one, because that one is successful. And also, I know Marcus McCauley has met with some other coaches too, and you know, he's our wrestling coach, and finding out, like, what are the things they had to find out the hard way, you know, what didn't work, and always having those conversations about it to try and figure out what works best. Because the goal is, we want opportunities for our kids. We want to make sure our kids have all the opportunities that other kids in a high school or junior high have. And it's hard when you have small numbers. You know, our high school, and I don't have the exact numbers because the third Friday count isn't until September 19th. We have 75, 80 students in our high school. You look at about half of those, you would figure, you know, count on being half males and females. Well, we are more male heavy. And so usually we have around 35 students, and we have, you know, 35 females. And so when you're looking at the number of students to participate, we have a very small population. But I am very pleased that this fall we have a lot of kids participating too, because even though we have, we're co-oping with Waniwok for football, we also co-op with cheer. So we have football cheerleaders. And this year, we have a very large group. We have 11 girls. And Mariah Green, who's our high school secretary in public relations, she is also the cheer advisor. And so having 11 girls, one is from Waniwok and the other 10 are from Weston. So that's a big number for us. And then when we have 9 girls that are volleyball players, we have a good number of girls that are participating. So, you know, we want to make sure our female athletes have opportunities, and our male athletes as well. But we've just really been struggling with some of our girls' sports over the past few years. And we want to make sure that our students have all the opportunities available to them.
Do you have to determine things like logistically, like practice, where you practice and the times and who's traveling and those kind of things, I suppose?
Yeah, and some of the co-op agreements that we've come up with in the past, we're looking at them, and some we may need to revise, you know, since Ithaca has a new district administrator. Dr. Claire Federley and I and our business offices have been sitting down, because we want to make sure there's some things that are consistent across all co-ops, but also that they make sense for that sport. You know, that and there's areas that we need to make sure every one of them is addressed, because some of the co-op agreements, they were done with different administrators or different athletic directors, you know, and there's different players, you know, the adult players involved now, that we want to make sure we're all on the same page. And, you know, practice schedules, even the summer practices or camp and all those things, making sure that it's so that all kids can participate.
The new school year is underway, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the timeline for your referendum. You're looking at one of those in the spring, I
presume. The spring is when we're looking at that. We'll be coming back with that in the spring. We'll have more information as we fully develop. We're starting to explore what we need to look at with the school board, and we'll have more information on that around November, December, as things really start hitting all the paperwork and all the pieces that we have to have in place to move forward with the referendum.
I know you're going to be a regular guest on our morning show again this year. We look forward to that, but you can kind of keep us posted as that progresses.
Yes.
Too. Sure. Well, here's to a good school year. Why are you proud to be a faculty member, a staff member at Weston?
Oh, I just love that school. When I first came there 10, 11 years ago, I had been teaching in the Madison School District, and I was in alternative education, and so I wasn't in a regular school building. And so when I got the job at Weston, I came in, and I was so excited to be in a regular school, you know, just within a regular school, not off-site somewhere. And I just felt like I had gone back in time almost. When I came there that first Friday, I will never forget the feeling I had that first Friday at Weston. Kids were wearing their letter jackets. Okay, we're not. This was 11 years ago, and I know other districts, I don't see kids doing that. So here's kids wearing letter jackets. It just had such a nostalgic feel, and I just loved it. And then I got to know the people and the students. And it's a place I feel very strongly about, that I want to ensure that our students have every opportunity available that we can provide them, and that they always have a place where they feel safe and that they belong.
Well said. Thanks for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And here's to a good school year.
Thank you.
Molly Kasten, District Administrator of the Weston District, on today's morning show.